What's up, internet? It's your boy Broad again, and here with another Rock'em Sock'em in your mama's face edition of the Every Joe Podcast. Hashtag EJPC, your political safe space. We've got a lot to discuss today, and I say discuss slash rant about because we're going to be talking about the GOP primary, and that's what you do when you're discussing what we're stuck with. And since the last two races were from South Carolina and Nevada, we have people representing both states with us on today's show. First, from Nevada, she was out there at the caucus last night reporting back on some of the, shall we say, less than democratic stuff that was allegedly or not allegedly happening. CrystalHeath.com. Crystal Heath, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Brody. It's great to be here.
And from South Carolina, somewhere in his hidden cabin in the woods where he's stealing Wi-Fi from the local public library, redstate.coms, truthrevolt.coms, and 85otherwebsites.coms, Caleb Howe, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are things in Nevada and South Carolina, or the Carolinas?
Who would you like to go first?
Both of you at the exact same time.
At the exact same
One,
time.
One, two, three, go.
Okay, this is going well, guys. I'm so glad to be here right now. Okay, first off, it's Nevada. It's Nevada. It's not Nevada.
Wait, see, you're
like,
actually
you legitimately.
The show goes off the rails while I'm doing the introduction. I actually got through the introduction.
You did. Great job, by the way. It was a complete disaster here. And I don't think I can necessarily pinpoint that on the GOP itself. I think that we just needed a whole lot more volunteers to show up at caucus locations to actually volunteer rather than just show up to caucus, which, by the way, it really wasn't a caucus at most of the caucus locations. It was literally at my caucus place, which was not where you vote in the November primary, because they were trying to consolidate to make things go better and in fact ended up making things go worse. So you show up, you stand in line. I was in line for about an hour and 45 minutes. You finally get inside. The ballots are literally just sitting on the table right there. You've got a card for a Senate candidate sitting right there. They pick up a ballot off the pile, pick up a card off the pile, hand it to you. I could pick it up myself if I wanted to. I could have taken 3, 4, 5 ballots. Then you have to go and find your precinct at a table with your numbers on it in a room where you're supposed to be caucusing, but there's no one there. And you're passing these taped envelopes with ballots in them. I could have picked up envelopes. It was horrific. I finally find my table. The lady tells me I'm at the wrong table. I'm like, my number is on your table box. By the way, this was fun. They're using priority mailboxes, the ones that say not to be used for anything other than U.S. postal purposes. They have priority mailboxes, like, taken apart, forming this teepee thing that they stapled the numbers onto. Then she tells me I'm at the wrong one. I'm like, my number's on your box. Then she tries to stick my ballot in the wrong envelope. She's wearing electioneering material, which as an official caucus volunteer, you're not allowed to do. And then she's like, okay, yeah, stick it in here. So I put my ballot in there and I was like, well, what about delegates? Are we doing anything for delegates? And she's like, no, we're not really doing that. If you want to be a delegate, you can just write your name on here and then pay $35 and you're good to go. I'm like,
so
what?
So basically what you're getting at was that it was as bad as advertised on Twitter, because quite frankly, it made it look like the Nevada GOP was the Nickelback of GOPs. And I say that as a member of the New York GOP.
It was basically a primary, but like in the 1800s. That's pretty much what happened last night. And then there was multiple reports of caucus locations that are running out of ballots. But if you talk to caucus captains, like, you're issued the number of ballots for registered voters in your caucus. So if you run out of ballots, and some people ran out of ballots twice, that's kind of that's not good. And then what, we're Xeroxing more ballots at the copy machine and back?
I have to say, you can tell things were messed up when at least half of your story could have been dirty if you had just put between the sheets on that. That sounded awful.
And look, I don't want to make it look like we're crying foul play, because even if it ran smoothly, the result would have been the same, which is, we'll get to later, but
yes.
Yeah. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But it just was a terrible process all the way around. And again, I'm not sure that it was the GOP necessarily, but there was definitely, we were not prepared for that many people to show up and vote. That's really frustrating
because that's something that has to be fixed. And yet, if you talk right now about trying to fix it, you're just going to get people going, oh, you're a sore loser. No, right. We're not trying to change the results. But this is a good time, since it just happened yesterday, to maybe take a look and say, look how crazy this mess is.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's also, I mean, it's on the Democrat side also where –
It's on the Democrat side, that's right.
Where like Hillary won a couple caucus locations, in one case is by flipping a coin, and in the Vegas course is by drawing the high card.
That's kind of awesome, though.
I mean, quite frankly, I say cancel the election and just have Trump, Cruz, and Rubio play a game of Texas Hold'em, and then, I mean, that would at least be fun. I mean, if we're going to throw democracy out the window.
No, because then you're going to have people saying, no, that favors Ted Cruz. You have the word Texas
in that
statement.
I was just going to say that. That's going to favor Ted Cruz.
You're clearly biased.
Plus all the Rubio and Trump people are going to think, well, of course he won poker. He's a liar.
Yes.
Oh, God. And actually, speaking of which, only because the Cruz is a liar started for the last primary, Caleb, I mean, while it ran more smoothly, we had the same unfortunate result. I know you were traveling to some of the rallies and traveling in and around South Carolina.
Yes.
What exactly happened there?
I'll tell you this. I talked to probably 36 or more voters. Over half of them were first-time primary voters. And in every case, in every single case without exception, not one exception, they had never heard any of the stuff that we take for granted that people hear about Trump every day. Everything that we hear about Donald Trump, all the bad stuff, all the positions that he's previously held, all that stuff, they've never heard it. And I know for a fact they were playing commercials down there. I heard them on the radio every day going over his record. And yet without exception, I found no one who had, if I brought up, did you hear him say, even the little stuff, did you hear him say this about Megyn Kelly? Did you hear him say this when he cursed on stage? They had not heard it. And when I said, you know, he misquoted the Bible, they were very offended because that's a big deal in South Carolina, but had not heard it. And this was the day before they voted. So I think part of the problem here is that the media, every time I go to one of these events, every time I go to a debate or a caucus or somewhere where I'm behind the scenes with the press, they go nuts for Donald Trump. Whenever he insults Jeb Bush, whenever he says something over the top, they're giddy like children, laughing and slapping thighs. They love it. They eat it up. The press absolutely loves it because they like seeing Republicans be mocked. They like seeing Republicans being made fun of and acting ridiculous. And so he gets the majority of coverage, obviously. And it's not so bad when you think, oh, well, there's cable news, MSNBC, CNN. But the problem is these people are watching local news. They're watching their evening news. And on the evening news, Ted Cruz doesn't even show up. They barely gets a mention. On the evening news in South Carolina, it's Trump, and that's the end of the story about the election. So that's what I think happened.
Yeah, and that's also – that was the thing I found most curious when it came to Cruz. And don't get me wrong, while I am a Rubio supporter, I think both Rubio and Cruz are equally in trouble at this point. But specifically in Cruz's case – you know, he was supposed to, I think part of his plan was supposed to be like the big evangelical turnout in South Carolina, going into the SEC primary, which is going to be a big evangelical turnout. And for whatever reason, he wound up losing evangelicals to a twice divorced New Yorker who supports Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
Which is weird conversations to be having with people, because I've seen a few where they shared all those Planned Parenthood videos and like, this is offensive. And by the way, we support Trump.
Right.
And if you point out to him, well, he was just on Meet the Press, and here's the video. He supports Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, but they don't see the videos. What they get is a forwarded email from a friend who says, ex-pastor in Clover, South Carolina, just endorsed Donald Trump. Well, the pastor did. Must be religious. I mean,
well, it doesn't even have to be an ex-pastor. We've got national
X's
big-time
variable. Blank.
Oh, I see. Yes. Got it. Variable pastor.
Variable pastor.
Yeah. It's granted. It is easy to blame the media, and it's also
not just the media. It's people. You know, they. A lot of times you hear people talk about we're in a bubble. All of us.
Which we are.
But it's not the bubble you think. Everybody has Facebook. Everybody. It's like 1 billion Facebook users. Everybody has access to Twitter. It comes with just about every phone that you can buy. This idea that the stuff that happens on the internet, the freaks that we see that support Trump, that they don't represent the regular population, I don't buy that. These are regular people. People have the bubble is people who watch Fox News, but people that read Facebook posts, that's every person. That's all of the people. Everyone reads Facebook. So these stories that go around on Facebook, these stories that come around by chain email, average voters read that. What they don't do is they don't see Fox News or National Review, things like that. So we may be in a bubble, but it's not the bubble of the internet. It's the bubble of what part of the internet?
So, Crystal, who do you think it's most at fault for voters not getting that information? I mean, is it just the fact that, I don't want to use, I'm using the phrase low information just because I can't think of one. Is it just basic low information voters, or is it the fault of, say, like the campaigns, specifically the Rubio Cruz campaign, that they're not doing a good enough job getting this info out to people?
Well, look, I mean, they could run more ads, they could do more on social media, but I think they actually both have a pretty good social media presence. I think the fault of low information voters is ourselves, like not me and you necessarily, but if you're a low information voter, that's your responsibility. That's your fault. And I think it goes back to also just the generation that we're raising today. Like my generation, I'm not sure how old you are, Brody, but it may or may not be your generation. But our generation, we just don't care about finding out more. We hear it. It sounds good. It's all about right now. We're all about right now, this moment, what I like this moment, what you can give me right now. If you can get me my burger faster, how I can connect to you faster. All we care about is the here, the now. And we think that the world owes us something. And I think that's a lot of what's happening too with the Sanders and Trump phenomenon. That was something that last night happened in line. There was a group of six people had a hard time deciding between Trump and Bernie Sanders, but they decided to go with Trump. And I'm standing there going, this is exactly what our problem is. You can't even see the difference between the two of them. And it's so bizarre to me that we have this generation of people that are just so swept up in the hype, in the culture hype, in the celebrity factor. If it was anyone but Donald Trump, except maybe Barack Obama, are we allowed to say that? He would not be getting away with the things that he is saying. If it was any other Republican candidate, it wouldn't happen. It's because of his celebrity factor. It's because of our consumption with living in an entertained, entitled world. That's my take on it.
Well, and I mean, let's talk about the celebrity factor for a second, because I had this conversation with a friend on the left here, where the point I made was that, well, it's funny to laugh at what, you know, Trump's response with the Republicans. If Bill Maher or Alec Baldwin decided to run for a Democrat this year, like, you know, liberals would understand our frustration, because they'd be hearing that, oh, I support Bill Maher because he fights and he's politically incorrect. I mean, you know, how much, I guess, let's just say, how much of it is a celebrity factor? I guess Caleb will go to you.
Sorry, Caleb, I forgot I had my thing on mute there. I don't know that celebrity is the way that I would put it. I mean, obviously, recognizing him is part of it. I think that's a hard one to really quantify, because I don't think that Republican primary voters are generally speaking the kind of people given to support someone because they're famous. But I do think that because someone is famous, people are more likely to hear what they say, listen to what they say, listen to the good, disregard the bad. So it's kind of a fine line, but it definitely plays a part. I mean, the name recognition alone, and the other problem is he's spent years building up this reputation under this exact base, under this exact primary base, for years on Fox News as the no-nonsense talking business guy. You know, he's on Fox and Friends like every day for 6 years. In fact, every Monday he had a segment on Fox and Friends for years. And so I think that there was definitely a perception of him as the no-nonsense talking guy. Also, the you're fired thing. It may sound dumb to us, but that, you know, that's a popular show. I used to watch Celebrity Apprentice. I thought it was a good show. And I used to love it when he would stick it to people in the boardroom. I thought, yeah, about time somebody talks smack to that, you know, to that famous person. And people like that too. So that's also a factor. It's a function of his celebrity, but I'm not sure that it's because it's celebrity.
Right. And I think I should have narrowed in on that point, is that I think the reason that the others can't break through or get out the information is exactly because of what you said, Caleb. Because he has that celebrity, because people are familiar with him, they just take him at face value. They already knew that they liked him. I watched Celebrity Apprentice too. I love Celebrity Apprentice. I wish Trump was still doing The Apprentice, quite frankly. But it's just the fact that people already know him. He already has everyone in America any kind of media time to get that coverage. Like I think Brody, you were saying earlier too, it's just, it's almost an impenetrable wall there.
That's right.
So I guess,
no pun intended.
the big question now is, and you know, there's a lot of complaints about like, well, people haven't been attacking him and people haven't been fighting enough. Have people not been attacking him, or is it just a matter of anything they've chosen to attack so far? Nothing seems to stick because his 30-35% of the electorate doesn't seem to care.
4% of their spending, 4% of their negative ad spending was on Trump. The rest was on each other. That's a problem. I think that there's definitely fault.
Yeah, because what? Because in Iowa, wasn't there like $22 million spent to just knock out Rubio?
Yeah, I mean they spent a fortune bashing each other, especially Bush. You know, he blew through, I don't know, $70 billion to no end whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the result was at Bush's current burn rate, he would have had to spend $2.7 billion just to buy enough delegates to win.
Good God! Isn't that what Obama spent to get his?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, is that, what is that? Is Aaron using the toilet? I thought I heard of it. yeah, definitely there's blame for not. So we've seen some fantastic web ads that really illustrate that what people need to know is not, he's not a conservative, he's not a Republican. What people need to know is, here's the things that you are interested in where he is going to betray you. And we have seen that that information is out there. It's easy to present, and it can be done with sound bites that are digestible in a car, listening to the radio as easily as they are on the web. They just aren't doing it. They just haven't done it because they're all afraid of retribution from Donald Trump.
Yeah. And Crystal, I think that, I mean, to me, that's the key point, because even if you look at something like illegal immigration, which is the big issue everyone's excited about, he's going to build a wall and he's going to kick out Mexico. I mean, if you pull together enough of his past positions on illegal immigration, like when he said the reason Romney lost was because he was too conservative on immigration, or like a year and a half ago where he decided that he supported the Dream Act, it's believable to think that 2 days after he gets the nomination, the first thing he's going to do is to give an interview to Univision in Spanish, saying that he supports amnesty.
I'm not sure if he can speak Spanish. It would probably end up being Portuguese, and then we would hear about how that's a better language because it's not what's spoken in Mexico or something. I don't really know what would happen there. But yeah, that's exactly the problem, but it's also the thing that no one's really talking about. And like you said, we've spent so much time and energy attacking the other good candidates, even if they're not perfect. There's no perfect candidate, but we've spent so much time attacking other good candidates that Donald Trump has been able to just get a free pass on so many things that just are so bogus and so outrageous. It baffles my mind. And I forgot your question. What was your question? Oh yeah. Is he going to change his mind? Yes, he's going to change his mind. He said, I can change anytime. He just said that. What was that, like a week and a half ago that he said, I can change into anything that I want.
Right.
Well, that's kind of a problem. And that's what you already did. Like 6 months ago, you decided to, I'm going to run for president. Yeah, I'm gonna change. You know what? Actually, I think throwing people out of our country is not a loving thing to do. You know, we can't let people die in our country unless I shoot them on Fifth Avenue. We can't deport people because, I mean, now I've decided. I talked to good people, and my best people told me that the best thing for us to do is to keep them here. And if you disagree, you're gonna be called stupid or dumb, or you know, they'll say, well, being conservative doesn't actually matter. It's just, yes, I think he will change. I think he will change all the time.
Right. That kind of capriciousness is kind of what keeps him popular with the same crowd, is that fleeting change of opinion based on the moment. Because right now the crowd, the mob, is not looking for someone who's dedicated to a particular principle and stand by it. They're looking for someone who takes advantage of a moment in the news and turns it to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that brings us to the big question. Well, actually, it's two big questions. One, do we think that, is the race pretty much over, or is there anything anyone can do to stop him? And two, you know, everyone's saying now, it's like, I would never vote for Trump on any circumstance. You know, how much of that is just talk, or how much of it could possibly be an opening for an actual, a third party candidate? And by third party candidate, I don't mean Mike Bloomberg. Maybe someone like a Rick Perry, something that Eric Erickson floated on The Resurgent today. So, Caleb, great blog, by the way.
Well, I love the Resurgent. Let me just say that. And yeah, I thought that was a great idea, actually. I know Aaron is probably nodding his head heavily right now. But man, can you imagine? That would be from a writer standpoint, from a press standpoint, from a blogger standpoint, that would be awesome. Rick Perry jumping in the race, people jumping in behind him who hate Donald Trump. That would be the story of the century, first of all. And I think it would be good. I think it would be good for Americans if that happened. I don't know that it ever would. And it would probably mean a Democrat victory. But, man, would it be worth watching.
Yeah, I agree with Caleb 100%. I love the Resurgent. And, two, I think a Rick Perry candidacy as a third party would be fantastic. Personally, I would vote for him. If it was Rick Perry, Donald Trump, and Hillary or Bernie, I'm going with Rick Perry all the way. Because obviously the conservative choice in that race. And I think that there are a lot of conservatives that if that was an option, or anyone else, honestly, that ran as a conservative alternate to Donald Trump, I think you would see a lot of support go there. And like Caleb said, we would probably see a Democrat win. But I'm not sure that we won't see that anyway, if regardless of if it's Donald or Hillary. So
that's right.
Yeah, and to me, it's a no-brainer.
One thing that Ted Cruz has brought up a lot that's on the line this election is the Supreme Court nominations. And I had a good friend yesterday ask me by email. He said, don't you at least think in the end, if it came down to Trump and Hillary, that at least we can expect better Supreme Court nominations from Donald Trump?
No.
Not only do I not think we can't expect better ones from him, I would be shocked if he chose an actual different person. Like if we could go into the future, the timeline split, and in one timeline there was Donald Trump and in the other there was Hillary Clinton, I would bet money the exact same individual person, the same name, would be the nomination in both cases, because the same people have his ear that have her ear. They'd be looking for the same qualities. I think they would settle on the exact same nominee, the exact same person. So if you get Trump, you're getting Hillary's nominees.
Is this the part where we start yelling and calling you a liar?
Yes.
Liar! Liar!
Liar!
You're a liar. Hater.
Hey, John, I'm going to break in here just a little bit. I am on the screen at this point, and I think everybody can hear me, even though it may be really, really low. So I'll pick up my microphone and speak louder for the audience.
It's like you're over my shoulder. It's like the good angel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm your good angel.
We'll have to get Brandon to call in to go on the other show.
That would be perfect. That would be great. So I was just going to point out a few things about the Rick Perry thing and what it would mean, and yeah, it would probably end up in a loss in the general election, but I think we're headed there anyhow, no matter what. So one neat thing about the Rick Perry thing is when we were scattered across the country after his exit, a lot of the Rick Perry people, grassroots people from Georgia, grassroots people in Tennessee, Texas, they got together and created a pack to try and keep him on the board for a possible convention fight. And so I think that's just an interesting thing. There's a pack out there that supports Perry. It's called Bring Leadership Backpack. I don't know if they're – I mean, I'm not going to say go give money to him or anything like that. I'm just saying it's interesting that there's still infrastructure out there for people like Perry out there native in the wild that could probably kind of go to show what he would be able to do as a third-party candidate. And the other thing I wanted to point out is – it doesn't matter that we lose. I know it does in the big scheme of things, but it also matters that we, like the GOP did when it started up, makes a break on these issues, because that's why we were founded. We were founded primarily on slavery being one of the issues that we wanted to get rid of, the abolition of that, the freedom of all men. And this stuff that Trump has brought up, as Perry correctly put out before he dropped out, this is that late 1800s know-nothingism, this bigotry that is just running rampant. And I think we need to take a strong stand against it and either excise out the cancer or get ourselves out and let it destroy itself. So I just wanted to add that positive thought to the end of the show here.
I got to be honest with you. That's actually a great point to close on. But I'm just going to – I just want to go around the table and go for everyone's closing thoughts. But I'm going to throw a topic out there. Super Tuesday's on – well, Tuesday. Is there anything left for Cruz and Rubio to do, and can they do anything? Caleb.
Sure, there's plenty they could do. I mean, they could do something radical, team up, you know, Wonder Twin powers activate. That would certainly shake things up. One of them could drop out. That would definitely shake things up. There's plenty that they could do, especially before Super Tuesday, because that's going to be the hardest. I think that's going to be the hardest one for Trump, because he can't focus all of his, you know, evil powers in a single location. He's got to distribute them amongst amongst his evil representatives. So evil dissipated is less evil.
Okay. Crystal.
That was so well said. Yeah, I think, as Caleb said, if either one of Rubio or Cruz were to drop out, that would dramatically affect the race, I think, and or if they were to find some sort of way to reconcile their differences and work together, which I think is less viable, but we can always hope, right? I think for Cruz, he has to win Texas to propel himself forward. I think if he doesn't win in Texas, I think that will be indicative of a Trump just riding to the nomination, unless there's some sort of split convention, which I don't see happening, but that would be cool. Also, I think Rubio needs to do well in Florida, and Kasich has to do well in Ohio, and Cruz is winning in California and Florida and Texas right now. So it'll be very interesting to see, but I can't wait for Super Tuesday. Honestly, it's going to be great.
All right. Aaron.
All right. I'm going to leave it with this. Before Super Tuesday, I hope the responsible campaigns in the race take these words to heart from Sir Edmund Burke: when bad men combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one, an unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle. I've been saying this since September 11th last year when Rick Perry got out. These guys need to get it together, figure out who the enemy is, and start directing their fire there. It is an absolute shame that only 4% of the spending has gone to affect Donald Trump. That's ridiculous. There's people out there like Liz Mayer and her Make America Awesome PAC who are trying to put up stuff. They're underfunded. They're doing it on the arm. And if, you know, doing it on the arm means for free for those of you who've never worked with Russian people.
But just to clarify, that was South Carolina, the 4%.
Exactly. In South Carolina. But overall, still, there's been very little spending overall on Trump as a candidate. And it's absolutely ridiculous considering how well he's doing and how well he has done and the crowds that he's seen and how he's been able to translate that into actual voters, even though nobody thought he could, other than me and a couple other people. So take Burke's words to heart. Get your stuff together. Focus on the real enemy. That's all I got.
Yeah. And on that pleasant note, thank you for tuning in to the Make America an Awesome Pack. thank you for
tuning in. Liz says thanks.
To the Every Joe podcast, everyjoe.com, hashtag EJP's in your political safe space. Depending on how Super Tuesday go, we might be debuting the Donald J. Trump Presents the Make America Awesome podcast. So for Caleb, for Crystal, for Aaron, for me, for Brandon Morth, for whom all things are possible, for everyone at everyjoe.com, all of our Every Joes watching, this has been the Every Joe podcast. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Peace.